Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, you all look good. Dr. Gabby, I see you. I don't know if you came alone today. I don't know, but thank you for coming to visit once again. Yes, he has waved. Pastor, I pass on the kawep to you. Who else? Any other first-time visitors before we start? Oh, yes. Good to see you, sir. Thank you so much for coming. And we start at 10:30. This is Last Adam Tabernacle. And we also have prayer meetings on Thursday at 5:30 p.m. to about 7, 8. We don't go beyond that usually. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, so as my husband talked about the land fund, I remembered, I see Gabby's wife. Yes, I didn't see you. Yeah. As my husband talked about the land fund, I remembered something we went through the other week. So we have been saving and wanting to save for a particular thing. So my husband opened up an account, Unit Trust something, and he started putting money on the side. So that was sometime last year. So of course now, he's like, John, why don't you also save? I'm like, but you know things here, basket things. Who remembers basket stuff? So I'm like, you know, the basket, it won't balance, what? So he's like, you know what, John, I'm going to start saving. I said, very well. So he started to save. He saved. So one day, I asked him, we are going to bed. So I asked him, you know how you expect, like you have a calculation, you're like, I think now ziweze. So I asked him, so how far have we gone with the Unit Trust? My husband confidently told me, we have 1.3 million shillings. I just told him good night because I'm like, what? So when I see LAT having all this money, I'm like, hey, this is where I expected my husband and I to be. Yeah? From the time he opened the Unit Trust. So I asked him, so what happened? Yeah. He's like, but you guys ate the money when you went for that holiday. You guys shoot the money. Where did you think the money was coming from? John, I make an honest living. Glory to God. So, so when I saw all this money, I remembered you guys are actually really givers. And clap for yourselves, yeah? Knowing that it is very difficult to save, yeah? That's the reason why I'm actually sharing my testimony, that experience. It's very, very, very difficult to save. So when you see yourselves getting to such a place, when you're a small church like ours, it is really, really praiseworthy. Hallelujah. Yes, and it's good that we have a plan for the money. We are not hoarding it. It is for the land fund. So at least you'll not hear us saying, we got that money and we used it to buy the pastor a car. Or we used it to buy new microphones. Or a big chair at the front for him and his wife. It is the land fund. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And when that happens, please come to the elders. And you can start with Mrs. Mujimba there. Minister Mujimba somewhere. You can come to me and Sam and Rachel and ask what happened to the land fund. It was a land fund. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. So with that 1.3 million, the way my husband told me confidence, 1.3 million. I told him, please, let's just sleep. Yeah? Then we just even ended up sowing the money because we're like, now, eh? You know when you have very little money and the need is so, you're like, let's even just give out that money. So we took off some time, prayed about it, and God led us to where to give out the money. Hallelujah. But I'm not saying that you should give out your savings. Please save. Hallelujah. Yes, save if you're led to save. Yeah, so the last time I was here, we were talking about praying until something happens. And last Sunday, we didn't congregate, but for the sake of people who are not here, I'm just going to go back to where this started from. I got a dream. It's coming to 3 weeks now. And pastor had told me to preach. So I was like, now what am I going to preach? So then that, it was, I think, a Tuesday. Tuesday night, I get a dream before I started preaching on that Sunday. So I got a dream when I was standing here in front of you, just like I am now. And I was opening, and I was telling you that, I was telling the congregation that the sermon for today is PUSH, P-U-S-H, meaning prayer until something happens. And then I told us to open 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, which says, pray unceasingly. Glory to God. And the dream ended. So I knew that God is telling us that LAT, he wants us to pray until something happens. Now, when I woke up in the morning, I was like, but what could I possibly tell a church that prays already? I know people here around Basabi, and you should clap for yourselves. You guys are serious, yeah? So I was like, what? It's like teaching the pop catechism. What am I going to tell people that they don't know about praying until something happens? I'm like, God, what am I going to say? But I knew I had gotten the instruction. But even as I thought about it, more and more, I realized that that message is not just the usual prayer until something happens, but it's actually God communicating to us that he is doing something. He is working on our prayer requests. He's working on your prophetic words. He's working on the promises he gave you. Now, what does he want you to do? Do your part. Be fervent. Be intentional. That is what pushing means. Do not lose heart. Glory to God. That is the message for LAT. That you don't just take it, you know, face value. Pray until something happens. Yeah, we prayed at campus until things happen. So what else? But when a message like that comes in the season where we are in right now, where we are in the promised land, where God told us previously that we shall blossom, we are in the season of blossoming, and now he comes and he says, pray until you see it happening. Pray until something happens. That is the gist of the message. Glory to God. Amen. Yes, so after preaching that day, I remember I seated here. Then Bridget over there came and told me, Joanne, can you imagine? Today she has an app on her phone where she receives daily verses or inspirations. So she says, can you imagine? This is what they sent us today. This is what was sent out today. And it was Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Men ought to pray and not lose heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah, LAT. Amen. So as I thought about it, I was so encouraged by that word, because then I knew that God has something. God is definitely and definitely working. So you cannot be the weak link. Glory to God. You cannot be the weak link. God, in his sovereignty, he can give you whatever you want, but God needs you to do your part. God doesn't work with lazy people. God doesn't work with people who give up. Yeah, and in a generation where we believe chitole, chikwate, chiteke munsawo, nchikujeko, whatever you want to call it, we have to normalize praying for things for a long time. Yeah, we have to normalize praying for things for a long time, tarrying before God, travailing before God. Because some of the things that we are praying for, we are not going to see them, and we are not the first people. Glory to God. Abraham never saw so many things, but that man believed the Lord. Glory to God. He believed the Lord. We have to be like the prophetess Anna, who prayed, who was in the temple every day praying for the Messiah to come. And when the Messiah came, She knew it. Let us not be like, you know, praying until something happens puts you at a place where you are so in fellowship with God that when something happens, you don't say, "Hey, mama, you know, those things of, hey." No, for someone who has traveled, and for many of you have these experiences, when you have traveled, when you have prayed for something over and over again, when it happens, you say, "We saw it. We saw it. I prayed for that." There is no shock. There's no, "Mama, mukama." Yeah, that day is when God does for you something that big, and like Geraldine has been testifying, like she, that was a point of, "God, that was so big," yeah? But you see, there are things that when you travel for, yeah, you will not see. But if God gives you, or when God gives you the opportunity to see, you'll say, "I prayed for that. I bathed that in prayer." Glory to God. And for us, LIT, especially if you have promises from God, yeah? And I'll dare add this, that if your promise concerns destiny of a church, destiny of your child, destiny, you're going to find yourself praying. And there is no turning back. There is no losing hope, because you're praying for things in the long term. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I gave an example of how parents have prayed for us before. Yeah, that your parents or my parents prayed for you, prayed for. You know, you've had experiences where your parents have prayed for you. And the day you got born again, like it was more jubilation than even your graduation, because you were something else. Glory to God. Like that day you got born again, everyone, your mother or your father, as long as they traveled for you, that's the only thing they would tell their friends. "My child is born again now. My child," like, it doesn't really matter what you did at university, or you got what, you became a doctor, you became an architect, you did pharmacy. But when a soul is saved, especially for those prayers that people pray and they travel and they cry out to God for, yeah, and you do not even know the time frame, man, those are great things. So let us normalize praying for things for a long time. Chikirize, if you're born again, just know that some of the things you're praying for today, you will not see them. Some of the things you're praying for concerning your children, concerning your workplace, you will see them like 10, if you do, by the way, but you will see them like 10 years from today. And you'll be like, "Oh, I was part of that prayer altar. And that has happened." Okay? So we have to normalize praying in this generation. Praying for things that can take long. Glory to God. But the good thing is that for us, LAT, God has told us, pray until something happens, because he knows that when something happens, it's going to have a physical manifestation and you are going to see it. Isn't that a good thing? So you are actually going to see that some of the things that you're praying for. Happening means a physical occurrence of things. Glory to God. So if you're praying for, say, a car, or he has promised you a car, or whatever, you're going to actually see it. Hallelujah. And then we also said that, I'm just recapping, that when we are praying until something happens, when God tells you to do, not to lose heart, it's not about get God, squeeze him in a corner. If he says no, put more pressure. Yeah? So that the not changes to a yes. No, 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 no. When God tells you no, leave it alone and continue. Glory to God. He has said no. And even in his no, we have learned in LAT that his no is for your good. I want you to think with me. For all the things that you have prayed for, supposing God had said yes to all of them, some of us wouldn't even be saved. We would have long left our salvation. A long time ago, yeah? So even God's no is a welcome no. It's a good, good thing. God is not your peer who will be there, or your spouse who will be saying, "Nyenda mukwa son, agenda kujakati, nyenda mukwa sambo, nyenda munyiga." God is not like that. God loves you. Glory to God. God loves. I remember the experience of Sam Well, he went somewhere and someone was asking, another man was asking how his wife is. And the man said that his wife is a bullet. Then I remembered Auntie Riz, when she came here, she was telling us to kill our husbands with what? With love. But in this case, Sam overhears or is part of this conversation. Were you part of the conversation? You were listening, okay. So he was listening, and when this man asked another man about, hey, so how is the family, how is your wife? The guy said, in our language, mkazi, nisasi. And then he's like, this year, I really don't know. I just don't know. Meaning the guy was like, this year he may get shot. He may die this year by the what? By the bullet. But God is not like that. Glory to God. Mukama si sasi. That he's going to what? That you're thinking, oh, this year, he may take me out. God loves you. And let us understand praying until something happens from that perspective that God loves you. Glory to God. Amen. So God wants to do something. And every time, there are two things that happen when we pray. Usually, something happens. You get the answer, the manifestation of the thing you're praying for. But also, on the other hand, God can actually change you. And especially my experience has been for those long, drawn-out prayers. You prayed for something for years and years. By the time the thing manifests, you are a totally different person. You're changed. God has clipped your wings, chiseled you a bit here and there. Now he has put you in line. And now when the thing manifests, you're humble. Glory to God. You have learned. Yeah. So sometimes God doesn't answer immediately or then take the things away, but he changes you. Hallelujah. He strengthens you. And then we saw from Luke 22, 39 to 44, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, how he prayed. God did not take away the cross. Okay? God didn't take away the cross, but you know what? He sent an angel to strengthen the Lord. But the cross never went away. The man still went and died. Glory to God. Amen. And then we saw in 2 Corinthians 12:9, when Paul had a thorn, what he called a thorn in his flesh. And the Bible says that Paul petitioned the Lord three times. I do not know of anyone here who prays more than Paul, who prayed more than Paul. But he petitioned the Lord three times in tongues with understanding. But God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. So by the time Paul died, something had changed. Hallelujah. Yet this is a man who pushed. Glory to God. Amen. So today we are still going to go on talking about push. This sermon found me last Sunday. I was preparing when I got a call. I was preparing, writing down my notes. When I got a call from Rachel, and she was telling us, Joanne, we are not going to meet. Something had happened. I said, you know what happened last Sunday? You guys didn't come, but you all got the communication. I got so angry. Anger rose up on the inside of me. So, of course, I talked to Pastor. Pastor is there being the pastor, spiritual man, telling me, Joanne, bath pangs. And I told him, there be a bath pangs to be ngamba. How can we not? We are bathing about what? Yeah? And I thank God that he stayed on that, because if he had released also his anger, I don't know what would happen. But, you know, I just got so, so angry. And then after he tells me bath pangs, what? I told Sam that me, these things were bath pangs. I don't want to hear them, because we're in a sin of blossoming. We are bath. So I gave him all my reasons. I'm like, I don't see why, blah, 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 this is happening. And then later when I looked at what I was preparing to preach, then it was about Thanksgiving. I say, now, Joanne, you're there complaining, You're there complaining about what has happened, but at the same time, you're preparing a sermon on giving thanks and praise to the Lord. I said, no. Something is not connecting here. So I went before God and I repented. I hope you guys, you know that repentance is important. Eh? I hope you know that repentance is very, very important in prayer. In this generation, people don't want to repent because the Bible says that Jesus Christ paid the price for all our sins. Yeah? And people don't think about repentance when they come before God. Tandikirawo, yeah? Rubber hits the road. But I hope you know that there is a place in prayer for repentance. And true repentance is when you actually turn from your bad and evil ways. Yeah, but also you talk about them with God. So I had to take off some time to repent. And the whole week, I started giving praise. I started giving thanks for LAT. Glory to God. So when we came on Thursday and we had a session of praise and worship, for me, I was like, thank you, Lord, because you have given me an avenue to really give you thanks, where it was so difficult for me before, because I was like, now that knob view where we are going. But you know, when we came on Thursday, we spent quite a long time in praise and worship. So that really, really blessed me, which, by the way, came by way of a dream. Someone dreamt that we should have praise and worship, and we just went with it. Glory to God. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18. It says, pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So when we are praying, when we are pushing until something happens, yes, we are praying without ceasing, but we also have to remember to give thanks. For the purposes of this sermon, I have combined the two, praise and worship. It is such a powerful thing. Yeah, to, you know, praise, giving thanks really, really blesses God. And I don't want to put God to our level that with this example, but I hope that I can help us to understand. Imagine someone came and told you, okay, let me start with the parents. Imagine your child came and told you, Mommy or Daddy, you're a great dad or you're a good mother. Just that. They haven't done, maybe they had nine, they had which aggregates? What's the last aggregate now? 36. And they came and, after getting their 36, 2 weeks pass. And then they come and say, but you know what, Mommy? You are a great mom. How would that make you feel? It would make you feel, and a single person has answered, parents, yeah? Imagine your boss at work comes and tells you, without even giving you that bonus, but they come and tell you, you know what? You are a good worker. You are good. Giving thanks is as basic as that. God wants to hear us telling him that he is a good, good God. When we say God is good, it is not a way to break ice. No, it is not that we don't have other things to say. When I say the Lord is good, I mean it. I mean that he is actually good. We serve a good God. He's not a bad God. Did you know that there are many bad gods out there? You know that very well. Yeah? You've seen what cults do to people. There are gods they serve. You know, idols. Or for the other gods. They're very, very bad masters, but our God is a good God, and he wants to hear that. Tajja kunyiga, if you don't tell him, he's not going to be petty and say, okay, you didn't tell me that I am good, okay. No, but when you have a relationship with God, you have to get to a place where you acknowledge. So just say, God is good. Hallelujah. And mean it, not pretentiously, not saying that to as a preamble to asking him for many things. There is a time my son asked me that, why does pastor keep saying God is good? Who has heard pastor saying that? In out of the blue, he says God is good. So my son asked me, but Why does Pastor keep saying God is good? God is good. God is good. And he means it, yeah? But your Heavenly Father wants to hear you saying he is good. Normalize it. Normalize telling God that he is good. Hallelujah. I remember in the marriage fellowship, Mark Wamai testified about how his spouse told him that God bless you, my friend. She didn't give him anything. She just said, God bless you, my friend. Mark said he had a spring in his walk. Eh? He just felt like, hey, God bless you, my friend. That really, really ministered to him. Yeah? So I don't know. But Rachel, you don't stop at that. But you don't stop at just saying, God bless you, my friend. Eh? If you can, please. Eh? But it's a starting point. God wants to hear us telling him that he is actually a good God. He is a good God. It's part of giving thanks. It blesses your Father to hear that he is, to hear that from you. Does it sound like something you can easily do? Yes. And when you practice it, it builds gratitude in your heart. Ephesians 5, 19 to 20. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us agree that there is, in this verse, there is a part for speaking in tongues, all right? Then there is a part for singing. That's, I hope you know that psalms were songs, yeah? And hymns. And then there is, you can sing spiritual songs. And then making melody in your heart, yeah? Making melodies in my heart, parents, you know, yeah? And then giving thanks always for all things. There is a part for you to speak and actually be grateful. Hallelujah. Speaking to God in words you understand. I know that we believe in Ramanda Sataya. Yes, 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 yes. But there is a place where you just have to go before your Father and say, you know what, God? Thank you. Thank you. Speak to him in a language you understand. You know, sometimes we fail to have to build gratitude in our hearts because, and I've seen it, like in prayer sometimes when you start in tongues, you can go throughout, and yes, you're praying in tongues and you're praying the will of God and all that, but if you want to build gratitude, if you want to concentrate on God, my tip is start by saying things you understand, relating to him, ngo yogere ebintu byotegeera. Yeah? Father, thank you for giving me transport to come here today. Father, thank you for the breath that you have given me. Oh, didn't you say that favor shall surround me as a shield? Thank you that I've seen that favor unfold. Oh, didn't you say, you know, talk to God in a way you understand. And in that way, gratitude begins to build in your heart. Compared to when you start in Randezebele. You know, and that is, I try to do that on Thursday when I'm leading the prayer meeting. So that we can now, lose the distractions. You know, when you're praying in tongues, right in the middle of the tongue, you can be thinking about the beans burning. How am I going to leave this place? Is it going to rain? Well, you know, your mind can go in places. But not so much when you're speaking words you understand. So I just want to encourage us to build a vocabulary. I have people hide in tongues, man. If you told them to pray in 10 minutes here, yeah, with words they understand, in the third minute, they have banged. They have banged. Because you just don't have that vocabulary of Psalms. And you know, when I look at the Psalms that David sang, those men, they were, okay, yeah, they were in Hebrew. But they were words he understood. Tewali won nimi. There was no, you know, tongues and all that. So imagine someone, all these verses. Man, he goes to the 30th verse, 40, 50. And I'm like, this guy had a relationship with God. Rich vocabulary. Okay? So let us, as we pray until something happens, let us train ourselves. Yeah? Let us train ourselves to relate to God in a way we understand. Because the Bible even says, Paul says that I pray in tongues, but I also pray with understanding. Glory to God. So, and the prayer of in your language, in English, in Luganda, in whatever, it's not less spiritual as long as it is led of God. There is a day I was leading the children into prayer. We're going to bed, and then I started praying in my mother tongue. I started, I'd hang at a tito mnyambabazi. And I prayed on. Then now Manzi said, Mommy, now it's my turn to pray. Mm-hmm. After, now I've finished. Then he started making fun of me. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. I told him, stop. Katito, katito, katito. But what was, so I told him, just stop, go to bed. Yeah? Because for me, I wanted to relate. You know, I don't know. You know, if there is a Luganda, you know, there are some things that you feel, eh? Like when you pray in your language, that you don't feel when you're praying in tongues. Huh? Like, man, when you're praying and you're like, Mukama gwenanta megwa, yeah? How you're like, man, God, yeah? You know, sometimes I hear and I hear like the Luganda prayers, and I just feel it. I just feel it a lot more than that prayer in tongues. Okay? So I'm just encouraging you. God is not limited. He gave us these languages. And if you're a French speaker, please, go on. Christine, eh? Sir, I don't know how you do it. But yeah, please, certainly, speak to God in tongues of men and tongues of angels, Biona, yeah, glory to God. Yes. Thanksgiving and praise. We know that when we give thanks to God, it keeps the heart merry. You know, when you're, God doesn't like complaining hearts, eh? People who are complaining all the time, asking him for things, not being grateful. Yeah, you every time you come before God, you're complaining. Try giving thanks. Proverbs 17:22. It says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit, oh, it dries the bones. Yeah? Let me tell you, God does not, those prayers you make when you're there, we're crying, sometimes they're so boring to God. He didn't enjoy them, he didn't enjoy that fellowship. Yeah? If you want, okay, cry and finish, but get out of there. God wants to deal with a merry heart. Yeah? So, when we are grateful to God, when that's what I'm saying, you need to speak to God in a language you understand. Because then now you realize, woman no si chibi nyo, I'm not really, really doing so badly. Hmm? As you continuously talk to God about, as you continuously express your gratitude to him, you will realize that actually, it's not as bad as I thought. And I'm not saying that you deny what you're going through. No. The fact is, if you're sick, you're sick. If you don't have money, you don't have money. If you're believing God for trample home, that's just what it is. You haven't yet paid fees. The calabo over 10% is looking at you. That is just what it is, yeah? But let me tell you something. When you start giving thanks to God, instead of now concentrating, giving thanks helps you to get your mind off of those very bad things, yeah? Those negative circumstances. And that is why people think that when you say, God is good. But like people think that you have everything together, and that is a misconception. And I've said it here many times. When we come here to worship, like the way we have been doing today, Let me tell you, we have 1,000 problems and they're not going to end. Yes, you paid the fees. Yes, you did this. You have the bonus, but there's something else that will come up. Maybe there is something in your, something that is pressing on your heart, but it doesn't mean that. Now, if you concentrate on that, when will you get time to give God thanks? Yeah? So giving God thanks doesn't mean that we don't have problems. It doesn't mean that we deny what we are going through, but there's never going to be a perfect time as long as you're on this earth to give God thanks. So you should as well just learn to do it. Glory to God. Amen? Yes. I remember I have spent not recently. There is a time I had problems with a car, like 2 years ago. And the mechanic came and took the car. And so he gave us our car. Who has ever used a mechanic's car? Yeah? Like, those cars need faith. Actually, mechanics don't have a conscience. You remember that joke, yeah? Like, who has seen the Uncle Mo's joke of Absa, where they are telling him that, really, yeah, don't come back. That car, it shows that you're a man without a conscience. Really put yourself in my shoes. Now on Easter, don't come. We shall talk on Zoom. Who has seen that? Yes, yeah? A mechanic's car, you need faith. So, one day, I get this mechanic's car, and now my children used to over-complain. You know the things, you enter the car, there are 3 seats at the back, but you're squeezing me, you're what? You put your leg over in my place. And now for me, I used to go to school on a bicycle. My dad would put me kumuti, yeah, in front there. Then my brother would be behind. And actually, would even take turns. But now for you, Genda kumuti, you know those things. Who knows kumuti? Atala's hero, eh? Hey. So he would take 2 at the same time, yeah? A bicycle. So would be on that, I don't know. Thank you, Pastor, for helping me on that one, because I don't know how to explain that to Jera. Like a road. It's not even a road. If you've sat on it, it's not a road. So. Yeah, so the handle, but Muzei was steady. Yeah? So my brother behind, Nze Kumuti, in the morning, very early at 6, you know that a wind is hitting you, but you're there, yeah? So and then somehow you'd find a way of carrying what? Of carrying your bag. And the bag had so many books. It's not like nowadays, you guys, you go to school, you find your books there. We used to carry our books. Yeah, all 9 books. 9, if you're doing 9 subjects, you carry them. So my children would over-complain. You put up a what? That moment we entered, now there is a child I have. I think her middle name is AC. Mommy, AC, AC, I'm dying, AC, AC, AC. So when that car died, and we got the mechanic's car, that car used to leak. You're driving, but it's leaking, like when it would be raining, yeah? So there is a day I picked them from school. It was in the evening. Man, you guys, you got wet in the car? Wet, when I say wet, on top, and I don't even know how water would seep through, yeah? Down there. Then now they started squeezing because the water was going through the doors. What? By the time now the car, I think we used the car for about like 2 weeks. And then, you guys, when the car came back, everyone was in line now. Pastor say, we thank God for our car. There was no more complaining of, you have put your leg here, you have put what? Because we had seen the alternative. Glory to God. So when you think, you know, the things you have, eh? If you're not grateful to them, for them, if you don't, you may think you're having it bad. But after, as like, this guy drives to work in this car every day in the rainy season. Now, some of the windows are not even working. So there was no, and then it was this window of doing, yeah? It wasn't a button. So now my children would say, Mommy, how do we put the what? The window up. I'm like, get that thing and what? And turn it. So you turn, you're going to break the window, the guy's window, well, and then we have to replace it, yeah? So, man, that day, I remember it very well, even as I'm narrating it to you. I know where I was when Kwezi told me, yeah, that mommy, this car has showed us that we have a very, very good car and we have enough space, yeah? But we would get out of there. If we were Uncle Mother, they would have chased us away. So, it was, be grateful for what you have. You realize that even that thing, you don't have it, it's not as bad. Because there is someone who has it worse than you. Glory to God. Yes, there is someone, you believe in God for transport. Everyone at their level has their problems. And their problems are real. So you cannot say that Robin's problem is not a problem. Eh? That Sudil's problem is not. Man, that problem keeps him awake, just like yours keeps you awake. Yeah, so everyone has problems. But then you realize that, you know what? It ain't as bad. Glory to God. Amen. There's a time I went somewhere, people were talking about their husbands. Man, I came back and I told my husband, you know what? Thank you for being a very, very... I told him, thank you. Yeah, but that shoe is too high. Yeah, glory to God. So your spouse is not as bad, but Nangi. Your children are not the worst. Glory to God. Your workplace is not the worst. At least for you, they give you lunch. Yeah? But others have to cost share. Others have to look for their lunch for themselves. The day they remove those things, you'll be like, ay. You know? The time I used to work in the bank, and there was this guy who was headhunted. They headhunted him, create group. Yeah? They created even space for him, an office for him. Asbestos, wow, they put even SC, they said, now you're going to head the agriculture sector, wow, they say so many things, headhunted him. Of course, with headhunting him came what? Came a car, 2 mobile phones. Of course, you know banks, what they do, they'll give you the latest. 2 mobile, because they don't want you to say, this phone doesn't work. 2 phones. Now, of course, when he was headhunted, he had a facility in another bank. The bank took it up. He said, now, we are going to. They paid the other bank, brought the guy this side, and now he started paying Standard Chartered. So, after some time, like 6 months, group changes its mind. It gets his portfolio and distributes it among all of us. Office neguao. And the moment, you see, the moment group sends out a message like that, they act like you stole something. The next day, people are there removing the computer, what, bring the phones, what. Do you know, out of the blue, this gentleman didn't have a job. He was like any of us. Meanwhile, he had a big car. Yeah? He realized he had absolutely nothing. The 2 phones, they told him, take them back. Because now he's no longer ahead of the sector. He's like, me, I have my capability. So they say, please bring back the phone. A man who had been headhunted, now he realized, I cannot what? I can't manage this big car. They even said the car bring. The car is for department heads about what. They took the car from him. You guys, he was the talk of the bank for quite a while. Because now he started sitting mukayola, mchirasha like us, who are sharing computers. And then you realize, I don't have it as bad as this guy. I may not have tested that money, but you know what? I am stable. Glory to God. So those things made me realize that you really have to be grateful. Kulevo joliko. Be grateful to God. Hallelujah. Don't wait to be married to say, God, I'll thank you for a spouse. That's when I'll be grateful. Don't wait for those things. Yeah? Just give thanks to God. I hope I've made a case for it. Then number 3, thanksgiving. Giving praise and thanks opens doors for your breakthroughs. Hallelujah. Luke 17, 11 to 19. This is a story of the lepers, yeah? Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And it was so that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Where were they not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Glory to God. We teach this story many times to our children, but we fall short, even we as adults, because we don't return really to give thanks and genuine thanks. First of all, Samaritans had so many gods. So in a way, they used to be looked at as, if you know the history of Samaria, they used to pretty much worship anything and everything. So is there a Jesus? Akola tumuongereko. So there were a group of mixed people that they had foreign gods, but they also would believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah. So the Jews used to look down on the Samaritans, and to them they were foreigners. So Jesus, these guys come to Jesus, and Jesus heals them. But we know that one of them came back and gave thanks. But what really touched me was the fact that Jesus noticed that there were no thanksgiving. Can you imagine that? Think about it for a moment. He asked, "Were they not 10 who are clean, who are cleansed? Where are the 9? So when we don't give thanks, God notices. Let's first start from there. You don't give thanks, God will notice. He'll still be good to you, but he will notice. And guess what? You'll be the one to lose. Because the Bible says that this man, in other versions, he was made whole. His healing was made complete. What do you think that meant? Do you know what it means to be a leper? To be ostracized in society? Those days, the lepers would be those ends with bells. The leper is coming and everyone runs from you. So probably the healing, the being made whole that took place for this person who came back and thanked God was a lot more than physical healing. It was the healing of the heart. Maybe trauma that comes with being ostracized like that. Yeah? There are many. We go through things that even if God gave you money. I was thinking the other day about someone who made a statement that someone made a statement to another person. This guy used to be Bambi, broke when we were at campus, broke. You know those guys who are like me, broke. So one day the guy, of course, gets a good job. We finished campus, he gets a good job, and then he earns good money. But let me tell you, everyone, even with his good money, everyone knew that the guy was the broke guy at campus. Can you imagine? You have that money, but everyone still calls you by that broke name. Eh? That guy, me, I know where he came from. That guy was broke. You know those things? Being known as someone who was a leper, you know, as someone who was broke. There are some things that take, like God has to roll that reproach away. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Am I making sense? Like if you meet someone and they say, I usually hear those testimonies. But now God has really elevated them. But there is just something about them that you see it's house girly. Yeah? You're like, but yet they actually even drive a bigger car than you. But there is just, you know, and that's why I'm saying that those are spirits, yeah? Those spirits that just come, and God doesn't only deal with the your physical condition, but He actually has to deal with echo yecho. Yeah? And when He deals with it, like when His presence comes down on you and He deals with that situation and He makes you whole, now He also goes and touches those spiritual things. Glory to God. Amen. If you're a woman, I've seen that many times, like for people who get married and the glory of God bambi comes down, and from the day they get married, they just become more beautiful. Yeah? Or a man, that day he gets married, he just becomes more handsome. Glory to God. And that is something that it is not, I don't know, I think it takes the presence of God. It takes God dealing with just obwulu, just giving you a spouse. Glory to God. He can give you a spouse, but my friend, nga, you still look a certain way, and God has to intervene. Glory to God. And wherever you go, people are asking, but is this person married? Really? Hey, he got married. Like you, hey, he got married. You know, there are some things, yeah? I don't even know how people live without God. There are some things, well, you have seen people on TV, people who are earning a lot of money, yeah? But when you look at them, there is just something. There's just something so, I don't know, something so poor. There's just a spirit around them. They don't look as nice as their money. You understand what I'm saying? Then God gets this person who doesn't have as much, yeah, and puts the glory of God on them. And you're like, but now this person with so much money just looks a certain way. There is one time I saw one of the big people in government, very big, as money, what we all know. Sometimes they even call him the assistant president. But man, the way the guy was dressed, the shirt, yeah? I was like, hey, God, yeah? Ambassador. Yeah? The shirt was so big, the way the guy was, I was like, no. The way the guy was standing, but I'm like this. Huh? That is where we need the presence of God. Hallelujah. That is where we need to be made whole. Glory to God. That is why we need to be made whole. So when you're praying for a spouse, when you're praying over what, don't just stop there. Pray that all these things, that reproach, shall be rolled away. Glory to God. Amen. Yes, so just like this man, he was healed, he was made whole. The trauma, some of us go through trauma. Yeah, trauma of things that it will, even if God gave you, like even if that breakthrough came, just the trauma keeps you. There's a certain way in which it keeps showing on your face. Your emotion, that heartache, the people that hurt you, you need healing. So this guy, I can imagine, bamwogerangako, that guy, yay, mugenge, what, leper, and bambi, those things would break his heart. But when he went back to God, well, to Jesus, and said, thank you, Jesus healed the heartache. Glory to God. People can get married, but they still carry their heartaches in their marriages. A guy broke your heart. And yes, God has taken you, now you're married, you're what? But every time you remember that heartache, you're like, ay! Yeah? There is a friend of mine who told me how she was chucked. She's married. She said, Joan, bang, over the guy told me I don't want to see you again. I hadn't done anything to him. He told me, should you step here again? I don't ever want to see you. I told her, you need healing. You need healing, immediate healing. You need to be made whole. She has three children, but that trauma, that heartache is still there. Yeah? The things that people said about you. So we need to, and this comes from, like we have said, we have seen here, this man was made whole. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let our promises come to pass, but also God is interested in making you whole. The reason why you're praying for these things, is that in a way, somewhere, somehow, you have been affected in levels, on levels that you don't even understand, but you need healing. You need healing from that trauma. Glory to God. And when we go before God, when we give him thanks for the things after they have manifested, Banang, let's give him thanks so that we can actually really be made whole. Hallelujah. Amen. Thanksgiving is a way of expressing faith. Thanking God for something that you haven't yet seen and touched. That is faith. Yeah? That is faith. Acts 16:25-26. Says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were not even speaking in tongues. And the prisoners were listening. They were praying, singing hymns, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. For the first time, I realized that when we give thanks, not only does God do something for you, but even for other people. It doesn't say that the people who were loosed, the doors that were open were only for those who were only for Paul and Silas. No. Giving thanks, you guys, is a spiritual weapon. So we see that by just someone giving thanks, Sumulula, glory to God. By you giving thanks about your family, do you know that you can open so many doors for even people that you would ordinarily have to sit down and start praying to, oh, help my cousin so and so, help. Just when you start to give thanks, God honors that. And even people who don't know him, by the way, start to experience miracles. Glory to God. That is why here in LAT, praise and worship is very key. Because that praise and worship does not profit me and the pastor only. It profits everyone. Glory to God. It doesn't profit a Silas and Paul only. It profits everyone. Glory to God. Amen. So chains are broken. Chains are broken. Doors are open. Breakthroughs are experienced by even people. Giving thanks for your neighborhood. You're there abusing your neighborhood that is not like Nsasa. But you know that just giving thanks. Yeah? But you know that by giving thanks, man, some gaga may come and put up a signpost there showing you that this is the what? To Sam's home. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah, we have to give thanks. So when we sing songs like Sinza Katonda, Ememe Yange, Abamu Sinza Beba Wangula. This is, for me, that is a warring song. Glory to God. It is a warring song. And so when we sing it, we have to sing that song when we mean it. Aba musinza beba wangula. Musinze kumacha. Musinze unakulwona. Glory to God. Amen. And you'll not be the first one. You have Paul and Silas who did it. Hallelujah. And then again on the issue of the fact that praise is a weapon of warfare. We know what happened to the wall of Jericho. You know what happened. First of all, LAT, Jericho was the first city to be taken over in the promised land. So some of us, our promises are in a Jericho. I'll say that again. Some of us, our promises are in a Jericho. And you know what you need to do? Instead of being here, Rande Zetek, come and we sing on Thursday and you'll see what will happen. Take off some time and just praise and thank God. What happened for the wall of Jericho? The Bible tells us clearly that the instruction came. The army, Joshua, was now the leader. Moses had long gone. So he put the army in front, but the priests were before the what? Were the ones who were leading. And they circled this city for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they did it seven times. Tewali wokulwana, No one was coming and entering. You know why those the walls were that big? Because the guys in Jericho had heard that the God of Israel had done great and mighty things. Toba zanyi sawa Israelites. When they come, they are going to take us. So do you know what they did? They made sure. Nobody leaves this city. Nobody comes in. Okay? So now that is why even the walls were that. So they knew they had heard about the God of Israel. So they said, no, these guys are not going to take over. But these guys come, they circle the city. But for me, I looked at that as, they were because the worshippers that led, the priests led, okay? That is praise. Glory to God. That is praise. That is worship. So can you imagine going around the city and then on the seventh day, you blow the trumpet. And guess what? Heaven is backing you. Now you've called in the what? The Sabalwani. Yeah? And on the seven days, I've tried to read so many. There are so many stories about how that wall came down. One of the stories I read was in the 6 days that, I don't know if it is true, but I found it interesting, that in the 6 days that the angels started, in that time they were circling, that the angels were moving the what? The foundations of the wall. That is, and I found that very interesting. I'm like, hey, you mean God also wasn't just there saying, I'm waiting for them to reach the seventh day, then I send my team. No. So I found that if it's true, that actually shows us what happens in the spirit. That as these guys were circling, the angels were actually also shifting that wall, mpola mpola. And then the completion of it was on the seventh day. I don't know if it is true or not. But to me, it doesn't sound so far from the truth. Why? Because I have other scriptures in the Bible that back up activity when we are giving thanks, when we are praying, and what God is doing. In Daniel, glory to God, that God works. He's working. Hallelujah. God is working when we give thanks. He is working. Maybe he is moving that city, that wall, slowly by slowly. I don't know. But giving thanks opens doors for you. It causes breakthroughs to come. LAT, as you push, like I said, it's not about nyigamukama, muteke mukona, press him. Ask, like Geraldine has said, get prayer partners, someone you can stand with. If you have said no, put a lot more pressure on him. God is not happy. And when you put pressure on him, he'll back. He'll say, okay. The pressure is too much. She started out praying with two people. Now there are 1,000 people. But please understand her in context. Eh? Glory to God, LAT. Understand her in context because she even gave you the scripture. But I'm trying to say that praying until something happens. You don't pray until something happens to God. No. You're not praying until something happens to God. And he says, okay, you have twisted my... Okay. Hey, no. Praying until something happens is for you and for your breakthrough. Hallelujah. So if you got a no, that no is a good one. Glory to God. Amen. So if you are in... I know many of us are in a promised land. If your answer is held up in the wall of Jericho, consider what the priests did. Consider giving thanks and praise. Consider not giving up because they had a clear instruction. 7 days. Don't give up. For your 7 days could be 2 months. Don't give up after 1 month. Same commands, Sibidaba. Then now what will happen to your answer? Okay? So these guys had an instruction and they followed it. Then lastly, Hebrews 13:15. This is where we talk about a sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of thanksgiving. Therefore, by him, let us not give up in offering the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let us not stop. Please, a sacrifice of praise is simply that you're not seeing things happening. Things are squeezing you. But you know what? You bring, when I talk about sacrifice, people, easily understand it in terms of seed, money, what. But your praise, when things are not making sense, you're like, Nemu, come on, I'm going to thank you. I'm serving you papers from today onwards, thanking you. Yeah? I'm serving you papers from today on. I'm going to thank you even when things are tight. In the thick of things, know that these are my papers and I'm going to be thanking you every day. Glory to God. Amen. I would like to end with an experience I had when I was so pressed. I was feeling so pressed, so things are not working. And I told God before going to bed, I'm like, God, I'm going to give you thanks today. And I'm going to sleep off giving you thanks for this situation. Meanwhile, my body, when I say my body, my emotions, my everything was so far from giving thanks. So I started. Like I said, no tongues. I told God, no tongues. You know, tegerabi en kugamba. Yeah? And then I told God, and if I sleep while I'm giving thanks, I'll be like the baby who sleeps in your arms. So, you know, you don't feel bad when a baby sleeps in your arms and they're touching you and what? They are making you happy. Then they sleep off. So I told God, God, you know what? I'll be like that baby. So I start to give thanks. Things I understand. They are even going my local dialect. I start. Oh, didn't you say, thank you, Lord, thank you. But you guys, when I started giving thanks, my heart was so far. It was so, so far from what I was saying. But by the time I slept off, I was feeling light. Then that day, that night, God visited me. You guys, there are things we don't even share here on the pulpit because they're just too nice. You're like, I wish people knew. Yeah? So I that night God visited me and showed me and sorted me. He said, this is because you gave thanks. You guys, I know what I'm talking about. Sometimes God will take that sacrifice of praise. It was not seed, money seed. Because you have done, Alan, you have sowed seed, you have done what? You have prayed, you have done everything you know in the physical to do. The thing is not shifting. I said, okay, now let me just, I'm going to give, what do I have to lose? Never even things are, you know, do you ever reason with yourself like that? You're like, first of all, what do I have to lose? There is nothing I'm losing by giving thanks. Nothing, absolutely. Things are bad, they are bad. Yeah? I've sowed, I've done everything, exercised all spiritual disciplines. I have spoken the word of God. I have, you know, prophesied. I have done everything. I've stood on the scripture. I have fasted. Now what do I have to lose? A dead man is a dead man. So I said, let me start. So I started giving thanks. I gave thanks. I don't even know how. And I remember, I said, Okmanya, I don't even want to sleep quickly. I got out of my bed, knelt. There's like a bench there. I knelt. So I told God, I'm going to give you thanks until I feel tired. Yeah? So I started giving thanks. Of course, someone was sleepy. I started giving thanks. I gave thanks. Someone is snoring. I gave thanks. I said, God, may I thank you? I thank you. Like, and, you know, by the time it was genuine, yeah? But I told God, this is a sacrifice. You know, I cannot hide what I feel from you. I can't hide it. I'm in pain. But God, thank you. This is what makes it the sacrifice, eh? Because it's painful. So when things pain, you don't say, let me first wait for the pain to go. And then I'll thank God. No, don't do that, by the way. Don't. When you're in that point, at that point when you're feeling pain, when things are not shifting, start to thank God. Don't say, I feel so bad, I feel so downcast. Let me first wait for the feeling to lift, and then I'll start to give thanks, watching and time. So, don't do that. A sacrifice of praise, it pains. It pains. So I started, Paula, before I knew it, now I was tired. Then I got up, went into my bed, and slept on that night. You know the things that God, like, God visits you and does for you a Solomon thing. He visits you, finishes the thing in the spirit. says, Gwekati, now tomorrow, there's nothing else you're going to do. I have finished. I've given you wisdom. That's it. Hallelujah. Have I made a case for giving thanks? Yeah? So let us be a grateful people. Let us be a grateful people. God has done great things for us. But more than that, God wants you. God wants to do something for you. It is in the offing. It is coming. It's his instruction. Take it like the way he instructed the Israelites to walk around the city 7 times, and they followed that instruction. Also, you take this push like that instruction, and let us see if the God we serve will not be faithful to his word. I dare you. Glory to God. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the nations.